ulele 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 ulele.
Welcome to the Wild Mother Podcast for women who want to birth, mother, and live with pleasure, purpose, and power. The wisdom of Mother Nature is our guide as we dive deep into the subjects of physiologic birth, natural parenting, and conscious mothering. Join me, Dr. Jessica Hodgins, for evidence-based and soul-centered conversation with guest experts and real mamas just like you. Let's go. Hey mamas, have I got a special episode for you today? I had the most incredible privilege of sitting down and speaking with the divine Tara Bliss and bearing witness as she shared the story of her pregnancy journey and the birth of her little boy. Now, for those of you who don't know, Tara Bliss is a mother, a leader and creator of communities, and a curator of experiences who's here to elevate women devoted to nature and their own true nature. In this episode, we talk about Tara's journey into motherhood and the deep healing that arose for her, particularly in relation to her experience of hyperemesis gravidarum, or HG, and the grief of early pregnancy loss. And from this place, Tara shares the precious story of the birth of her son 9 months ago. I truly don't feel there's a whole lot more for me to say in this intro. Honestly, this episode is so potent and Tara's words are so powerful and beautiful. And my job is really just to stay out of her way and let her speak. I believe there's medicine here for absolutely everybody who has the privilege to listen to Tara's words and her story, and I just can't wait for you to hear it. So without any further ado, let's bring on the divine Tara Bliss. Tara, welcome to the Wild Mother Podcast. It's such a privilege to have you on here and to hear your beautiful story and the way that you just have a way of sharing your story so beautifully. So it's such a privilege to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And oh, I'm so glad that you are the one that I'm chatting to about this. You know, I'm so honored to share this with you, powerful medicine woman that you are. Thank you.
It's my absolute privilege. It really is. I wanted to start by inviting you to share a little bit about your work in the world and the journey that's led you to do the work that you do.
Right. Okay. So
it's a big question.
The elevator pitch. Even that question, I'm so glad you asked it because it's constantly evolving. And I think particularly, I'm 9 months into motherhood now, and I'm very interested in the essence of my work. What's the essence behind the doing and the results and what it looks like? What is the sort of background hum of it? And really it's about creating spaces and opportunities and experiences and immersions for women to remember their true nature, which is never anything that I can define. I can't define that for them, but I believe that a core element of that is remembering that we are nature. And that's always kind of been there in the background. I've had many detours, but I find myself now sort of circling back into the simplicity of that. And right now what that looks like for me is I have a beautiful program, Rebels of Light, in which we explore the ultimate rebellion is actually doing just that, honoring our true nature, not simply being a product of our environment. I oversee a beautiful global community of people that are committed to natural well-being, but I'm really excited about what comes from this point onwards now that T is in my life, my son, and now that I know that really everything that I create and stand for comes back down to this essence of being an ambassador of I am nature. And in doing so, honoring the feminine essence behind all that, not femininity, but the feminine essence of life force that lives at the nucleus of that. So do with that what you will. that's kind of it in a nutshell, and curiosity got me here for sure.
Mm.
Curiosity and pain and squeezing the nectar out of that pain. Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What an answer. I think that answer says so much about you.
Thank you.
And I know you've recently become a mama to your little boy.
Mm.
And you've shared elsewhere about your journey into motherhood and that it actually began much before your little boy came into your life. So I wondered if you wanted to reflect on where that journey started for you. Was there a spark that, or was there ever that yearning that said, I want to be a mum? Like, where, how did it happen for you?
Mm, such a good question. I remember being 4 years old and connected to a mother essence within me.
Mm.
And a lot of that, you know, I think we can all look back on our childhoods and our desires are often born of experiences that aren't favorable.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think, you know, my beautiful mum had me quite young. And there was always that feeling within her that she hadn't quite reached her potential because of how young she was when she started to have children. And I think because of that, there was a lack of availability to her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that. It's almost like I came here and I got to Earth and I was looking for her. Mm-hmm. Where are you? You know, so I was really aware of that distance and started reconciling at such a young age. I wasn't even at school, but, you know, when I'm a mummy, I just want to make sure that my babies know how much they're loved, you know. So obviously that path with my own lineage has helped the healing both ways.
Yeah.
Right. So up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's so beautiful about so many of, you know, this generation of chain breakers, of change makers, is that we don't sort of take on this information and this lack and this pain and simply carry it with us. So many of us are really interested in mulching that up and alchemizing that. And like I said, kind of squeezing the nectar out of it.
Mm.
So, don't get me wrong. I was very distracted. I got into my, teens and early 20s and when this desire to create a big, beautiful life kind of took over, I tried to convince myself for a good long time that I didn't need children or want them. And one of my pregnancies in particular was a very difficult hyperemesis pregnancy. And with that, I tried to bring in this spell that I'll just keep busy and travel the world and build a beautiful business and I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. That was not my path. You know, I tried to tell myself that, but the truth is, yeah, honey, ever since I was a little girl, I felt this maternal background music.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my little brother being born. We're less than 3 years apart, but I cared for him. And when I was 13, my younger brother was born and I simply just pretended he was mine.
Mm.
And I loved it. I loved the mundane roles and the caretaking and the beauty. And here I am. And every day my mantra is still like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe you're here. Yeah. You grew overnight. Like, who are you? You miracle. So, wow. Wow. It's just such a trip, isn't it? It's yeah. Such a trip.
Yeah, it is. And to really take the time to sit down and like look at it as well, to actually like recognize, as you said, like the miracle of what it is to bring another soul into the world and to be their mother.
My goodness.
Yeah.
My goodness. Wow. It's like it really, really cracks open your heart to the multidimensional nature of being and living, doesn't it? Because there's such a physical component where, sure, this is what happens and these cells start to multiply, like the cells collide and they multiply and you have a baby. But nah, man, there's so much more going on there.
Yeah.
and to have the privilege of engaging with that quality every day is wow, unbelievable. I remember I had a conversation with my mentor early on because I had this idea in my head that I would have a decent gap in between babies, and who knows, that might still happen. But I remember T being 6 weeks old and watching him rapidly just, you know, they're just such shapeshifters, mm-hmm. especially in the beginning. Like they come in and out of expression. One day they look like him, one day they look like my mother, one day they look like my brother. Yeah, it's so incredible the rate in which they transform. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just have this palpable memory of this nostalgia coming over me. Like, I'm going to need to have more babies because this is passing too quickly. Mm-hmm. And almost like I needed to be more reminded of this magic. And my mentor was really quick to remind me that it's all a mirror. And looking so deeply into that magic and into that beauty of our babies, we have to at some point reconcile that that's within us too.
Mm.
It's so easy to love them. It's so easy to unconditionally love our little ones, but in that there's the ultimate invitation. I think for me, just feeling that profound nature of the impact of your nervous system on them,
mm-hmm.
and all they need to do is come close and just mm-hmm. something beautiful, like, oh, sorry, you know, you're not just a person, you're a place for them. When I read that, I was like, wow, we are home.
Mm.
And we are still, you know, we do still share, particularly like where I'm at, we're sharing energy centers here.
Mm-hmm.
That time has not yet come. Like the time will come to kind of start separating that out, and that will be appropriate. But I'm in no rush to hurry out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is so beautiful, isn't it? And as you're saying that, I think it's an invitation to us to unconditionally love ourselves, because they do. Like, as you said, we are literally their home. We are their whole world. Like, what is that quote that, like, the mother is the original country, or is it something like that?
Wow.
Or homeland? We are the world of one person. So to be so loved by that one person is, yeah, there's so much healing available to us in that, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Oh, and I try not to say I can't wait, but there's just so much to look forward to. Mm. Yeah.
So Tara, would you like to talk about your experience with your previous pregnancies? Because T is not your first pregnancy, and it's been an incredible journey for you. And I know you've shared about it elsewhere, and it's just had me sobbing. And I'd love to hear a little bit about what your journey with those previous babies has been.
Yeah, okay. Holy smokes, my pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Hey, like, I tell you what, this has been my journey of becoming a mother has been the most significant, devastating, divine, perfect path. Like, I own every single moment that it took, and having him in my life now, I understand every, you know, in air quotes, loss. I feel like, you know, T was my sixth pregnancy, and it was those experiences of death, of decay, that brought me closer to life and nourishment. So hyperemesis has played a big part in my story, hyperemesis gravidarum. And I guess oftentimes we hear about the sacrifice of motherhood. And I think something that's enabled me to drop into my version of motherhood with so little resistance, really, I mean that, like, I'm just here for it. This is an aspect of my life where I experience being the least full of shit, you know, the least amount of self-doubt. And it's because sacrifices come through my pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I'm caring for him. So I guess just to give that a bit more context, hyperemesis gravidarum, it feels like you need to die to bring your baby here. And I suppose only women who have experienced that will know that and actually appreciate someone saying it like that, because it does sound quite heavy and it sounds a lot and it's such a statement. But the best way that I found to describe that is it's literally like every single cell in your body is allergic to being pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's you can't keep anything down, let alone water. And so it's this constant feeling of, you know, I speak about my mission being we are nature, I am nature. Hyperemesis gravidarum pulls you so far away from your nature, the sunlight on my skin would cause me to throw up, right? But in doing so, and I experienced this with tea, pulls you so far away from nature that you've got nowhere to go but to the deepest, like, nucleus of yourself, where every day, you know, you need to decide to make it through. So that, I think, witnessing my body endure that and witnessing my body experience loss. And as many times as possible, I did want to experience the loss. It was very important to me, as often as I could, to miscarry and to experience that and to witness that. That was very important to my healing.
Mm-hmm.
I had one very significant pregnancy that became a little bit of a medical emergency, I'll say, and I wasn't able to pass in that way. And it haunted me for a while, just not being able to watch my body let go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so all of that has kind of built a body of trust and context for love and joy. And obviously in bringing him here, it was the greatest success of my life, because of course that doubt lingers. Can my body do this?
Mm.
Can my body do this? And I've tortured myself many times. Why is this body that I'm in? Why does it get this sick? And I've been on a journey with that, and it's really interesting to knowing what I do now. I will do it again. You know, I will do it again. But before the baby arrives, there's so little people say it's worth it, but you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You hope it to be true. You've got your desire guiding you, but you don't know. So, yeah, all I'll say there is each time that I, you know, guided this gorgeous, mighty being back into the light, that grief afforded me incredible capacity and love. And it was in its own weird, perfect way. It was all beautiful. And I appreciate opportunities where I get to talk about that from a healed space, because I know it can be a lot for women, and they often feel misunderstood, and we don't know that grief and love are different sides of the same coin.
And in
not knowing that, perhaps we don't actually fully grieve.
Mm-hmm.
And instead we can run straight into the what's wrong with me. And what I know now is nothing is wrong with me. Nothing.
Mm.
And that for some reason I chose a path, my soul chose a path where my greatest lessons would be about decay and nourishment, life and death, pain and beauty.
Yeah.
So give it all to me and let that heal, you know, from that healing, let this enormous love affair with my baby boy emerge.
Mm. Wow. What an absolutely beautiful story. And as you're speaking, I can just see, how the way that hyperemesis gravidarum just stripped everything away, just shattered everything. And as you were describing, coming into this like very nucleus of who you are. And when that was all stripped away, then your little boy came. And so there was nothing left to be holding on to. You'd already surrendered everything. It was so just true. You at your absolute core.
Yes.
And I think in so many different ways and different experiences for each of us, like this is what motherhood does. It does. It strips everything else away and just brings us back to our core. And then there's just nothing left except love.
Yes. I love that.
Actually, what we've been talking about is exactly this, the next question that I want to ask you. I have this belief that in Mother Nature's wisdom, that the transition into motherhood is an opportunity for women to heal our stuff and to shed our shit. So it's kind of I think whether you look at it from a spiritual perspective or like even an evolutionary perspective, it makes so much sense that this transition into motherhood of passing life to a new generation has this like inbuilt mechanism for healing and expansion to set them up without all of the crap that previous generations have been carrying. And I feel like there's this opportunity each time we pass new life to a new generation to do this. Mm-hmm. And this is why our shit comes up through pregnancy. And for each of us, it comes up in different ways. But I'd love to hear for you, did you feel like stuff came up through your pregnancies that needed to be healed? Like what was the opportunity that was there for you?
So the big one that was in my face was, I get, you know, if you were looking in on my life through, I guess, a metaphysical lens and watching how my physical body was responding to my pregnancy, and if you were this way inclined, you would think to yourself, what is she so afraid of? Why is she rejecting motherhood? Mm. And mother line healing is a huge, definitely a huge aspect of my healing journey for sure, which I've really quite enthusiastically taken on. I want to do that healing work for my mother and her mother, and I've given a lot of energy to that. And yet we can do all of the work and read all of the books. And I suppose I was still confronted with, on a cellular level, feeling as though I were rejecting the possibility that I might not be proud of the mother that that I could be. And I was aware of that. And what an extraordinary thing to try and create something new. And we do this. This is exactly what co-creation is. But to create something that we have not experienced yet, that we haven't seen a lot of evidence of. And my pregnancy, in a very interesting way, because I couldn't escape the misery of that moment, I really had to hang on to a vision of the future of how I wanted to mother. So interesting that the very thing I was most worried about is the nugget, you know, is that kind of coal there to turn into a diamond. I'm sorry, I'm just having some flashbacks. Becoming so well acquainted with this toilet bowl, you know, and throwing out my pelvic floor before birth, even from the force of throwing up. Baby boy, I love you. I do. I love you. I like having to convince myself in moments where you feel no life, no love. So, you know, it wasn't until my symptoms started to ebb away at 20 weeks, 24 weeks. And then suddenly this life force started to kind of flicker in like glitter. And I could authentically sit in that, like, relax out of the fight. Be like, oh, I can feel you. I can feel you. And especially when he started moving, okay, I'm arriving into the pregnancy, you know. So what did it teach me? Just, I'm a fucking strong warrior lioness. I can do it. I can do things that are outrageously beyond my comprehension. I can hang on and hold a vision when everything feels like it's falling apart. Does that sound familiar? You know, there's that. And that's also just in an effort to heal our traumas, sometimes we can make the mistake of trying to be the perfect human. And, You know, I can look at what went on in my own childhood and I can decide to make all of that wrong and that everything that I'm going to do is super hyper conscious, but I'm missing some core, central, beautiful opportunity for compassion there if I do that. So, yeah, I felt more connected to the essence of mother. There's the lineage, but there's also just the qualities of mother. And I had to mother myself through that big time, honey. There's nowhere to go. You know, there's nowhere to go but in and to your baby. So, yeah. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah. I just don't even have words for everything that you're saying today. I have nothing like insightful to say back because I'm just in awe of every word that's coming out your mouth.
Well, like I'm kind of having a chuckle here because it's just outrageous to even, I mean, this is why poetry and art and music exists. You know, it's this type of thing. It's rising in love. It's making sense out of agony and trying to put vocabulary to love that's just so inexplicable. So you just have to giggle about it sometimes and be like,
well, yeah. So I know you said that you knew from very early on, and maybe even before your pregnancy with T, that you wanted to have a normal physiological home birth. So why is that? Where did that come from? Where did that conviction come from?
I don't know. I've thought about this. I do think I came out of the womb a little bit saying, fuck you. Like, I just, you know, I want, like, don't tell me what, don't, yeah, like, get out, you know, get out.
Yeah.
Let me be in my true nature. Yeah. I think that there's been qualities of that. But I do have a memory in one of my pregnancies going to see the doctor with my ex-husband, because that's what you did. You pee on a stick and then apparently you go and get a blood test. And I did that. And he's like, okay, what hospital will you be birthing at? I think I was 27 at the time. And I said, I'm really excited to have a home birth. And the doctor immediately just looked at my ex-husband and said, well, what do you think about this? Of course. So I spent the next 3 days angry. I don't know. It could stem from my background even as an athlete and of enjoying pushing my body. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed when I was reading Birth with Confidence from Rhea Dempsey. I really enjoyed her analogies, how she kept drawing it back to a beautiful peak experience, you know, physical experience, because she was quite an active woman who took her body to the edge. And I resonated a lot with that as I was reading that, and I could probably see that pattern of let me see what I'm capable of has kind of been a bit of a theme in my life.
Yeah.
And that deconditioning from even from a lot of these medical processes for me has continued right up until today. You know, even processing elements of what happened at my birth. Yeah, it could be so much wild than even that. So it's been a really interesting, slow kind of, there's that desire of, yes, I'm a woman and all women can birth and let me have a good old crack at that. But then the nuance that's often attached to that, I'm still kind of peeling that away of what we're really capable of.
Yeah, I resonate with that too 100%, because I think because physiological birth is so rare that just to set the goal of having a physiologic birth feels quite bold. When there's really not much around us to reflect back that that is normal and perfectly possible. So then I very much feel the same that my birth with my little boy was almost like step one. And then, yeah, as I kind of open towards a possibility of another pregnancy down the track, I'm kind of thinking about exactly what you said, like, what is possible and what is, and you're talking about the essence of life force and like what is actually possible if we get everything else out of the way.
Right.
Where would that take me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I have so much awe for women who choose to free birth, but I don't think that that's something that I personally ever could even contemplate had I not had that birth, which I'm sure we'll go into. But now that I've been there, now I'm like, hang on a second. Because you don't know what you just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. Hey, Mama. What if I told you that the blueprint for birth is safety, ecstasy and transcendence, personal growth and intergenerational healing? What if I told you that this is true not just because it sounds nice, but because Mother Nature is infinitely wise? Life wants to thrive. That's why birth, the moment of passing life to a new generation, is exquisitely designed over millions of years of evolution to be as safe and efficient as possible for mother and baby, and to be an evolutionary opportunity for you as mother, as creatrix of life, to expand into your fullest potential so that the next generation is given the very best opportunity to thrive. And now, what if I told you that this blueprint isn't something mysterious or even hard to attain? What if I told you that actually it's your body's default? That it's right there in your body, in your cells, in your very DNA, like a gift, just waiting for you to claim it. If these words stir something in you, Mama, if you feel their truth ringing in your cells, then I want to invite you to join me for a very special free masterclass that I'll be hosting on Friday, the 24th of September. It's called Reclaiming the Sacred Blueprint for Birth. I'll be sharing the three codes that you can use to reclaim the safe, ecstatic, transcendent, expansive, healing birth that is your birthright and your baby's too. You'll find the link to register in the show notes. Go and do it right now before you forget. Yes, I see you multitasking, Mama. And join me for this sacred gathering. It's going to be something very special, and I can't wait to see you there. And I'd love to hear a little bit about how you did prepare for the home birth of your little boy. Like, what went into that for you, and what was some of the stuff that you needed to work through, or, you know, what did you find helpful in that experience?
Wow. Well, it really, like, the deep dive for me started 6 or 7 years ago. So back then, you know, watching some of those beautiful core documentaries that were out was just hitting like truth at the back of my brain. Yeah. I was just so ravenous to that. And of course, some really great books, Ina May Gaskin and all of those good things. So it was like there was a level of deconditioning and education coming through. But then a few years ago, I had a separation and divorce, and then met my current partner, which created an ease in my nervous system. So look, it has to go without saying that life was looking after me. Life was looking after me. You know, I was able to relax into this relationship where this little man wanted to come through. So on the level of the brain, I had no resistance whatsoever to physiologic birth, which happened at home. And I think that this is something that's really wild about hyperemesis, is it keeps your attention off of the birth, actually, because you're in a level of survival. But once I emerged out of that, I was eager. I was so eager to get there, almost impatient. So it was more so wrangling myself sort of back into this present moment. I would check in with Rob often and just see how he was doing with the whole thing. He was a little bit, a little bit apprehensive at the beginning, but he trusts me. And one thing that I was worried about wrongly was, is he going to be able to meet me in those depths? Just wasn't quite sure. I was so wrong. I was worried that it would be such a big moment that maybe he would kind of short circuit and sort of float above us, and it's not what happened at all. I trust him implicitly, but it was more so just being met with my own impatience around it. How on earth, I remember getting to 37 weeks and being like, how on earth could this go another 5 weeks? I know it could. There's just no way. Mm. And so there was just such an agitation around that. I just wanted to give birth. I wasn't afraid of the pain. And I'm hesitating as I'm saying that because I'm remembering now as I'm talking about it. I was very enthusiastic and just excited for the challenge. And I'm probably also projecting a little bit of what ended up occurring in the birth back, which isn't correct. I felt great about my birth team at the time. And I was just eager to get on with it.
Mm.
Yeah, truly.
Mm.
I think that comes down to the sacrifices beforehand. It was such a championship win for me to get to term that I was just like, okay, yeah, I'll just take on this birth, and I'm here for it. This was my big win. So
yeah. And then how did it happen? How did labor begin?
39 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Let's go there. So I was actually getting Braxton Hicks. I don't like to call them that, but 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just constant. And so, yes, I remember being in this kind of agitation around, I can't wait for the sensation to change because I'm constantly cramping, and I have for an age. I can't wait to know for that trigger. Oh no, this is different. This is labor. And so 1 o'clock in the morning, Christmas Eve, I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm kind of rolling over to get up and go to the bathroom. And I just, yeah, this huge cramp, and you second guess yourself, don't you? You're like, I did. Is this just bad gas? You know, what's going on here? And I hop back into bed and I say to Rob, well, you know, let's just, I don't know. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm up again, and we're out the back just having a walk around, and everything just starts to feel a little bit spacey, you know, like before you're about to bleed is probably how I'll explain that. Just spacious and a little bit hazy, and every now and then I stop and there's some cramping, but nothing that's like we're on. You know, it's early days, so please bear in mind that this is Christmas Eve, and we've put a seafood order down at the local seafood shop. We've got friends, you know, like, well, look, I could, because I had a feeling he was going to come over the solstice, right, the 21st, 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
There was a powerful time, lots of solar energy going on there, and I just felt him. And then it came and it went, and I'm like, oh, God. So, and I said to myself, look, if he doesn't come over that time, I just have to let this go, because I'm torturing myself right now. This is just hectic. And so I said to Rob, go and get the seafood. May as well just, you know, just go and pick it up. So he leaves, and he's gone for about half an hour, and I'm sitting in bed. And again, the contractions always seemed to come on with movement.
Mm-hmm.
If I twisted a little bit, and again, I was hopping out of bed, and this incredible explosive sensation, I was so overwhelmed. I thought I was a balloon that was going to burst. And I ran to the toilet and I sat down and I popped, and I exploded. I felt like, I looked down and I thought I was going to see blood and guts, and it was all clear. And I'm like, wow. Okay. It was the most intense. It just felt like all my energy hit the sides of the toilet wall. this incredible pressure, bam. And, you know, sometimes I hear of these women and they just have water that starts to dribble down their legs and I'm like, oh, no, that was not me. Whoa.
Wow.
But I was alone. I was at home and it felt so much bigger than my body that a little bit of fear started to come in. Hey, babe, where are you? I'm at the front of the line just getting the seafood. Yeah, no worries. My water's just exploded everywhere. Please hurry. And then he's getting up. Yeah. Oh shit. So he makes his way home and we call my beautiful doula Gemma. And the next little while is a bit of a blur. You know, I really rapidly go into established labor. It's progressing quite quickly. I'm really enjoying the intensity of it. I've got some pain in my back. I've got hands on me at all times. So beautiful. Just felt so nourished. Gem's timing my surges. And we decide to call the midwife. And she arrives. And now and I guess what I'm about to say now, it's in no disrespect, but I think in sharing my story with you today, I think this is the one part of my story where, and it's already supported one of my friends, but there's an element here to dynamics in that space that I think is really important to take on board, and trusting your spidey senses. Mm-hmm. So my midwife turns up and she's a beautifully kind lady. I don't feel as though I really spent the time to get to know her because I was in hyperemesis. I was like, you're on the Gold Coast, you do home births, you're it. I can't think about this. I don't have time to tune into you, or I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. You want to be there? Great.
Yeah.
And so she arrived, and as soon as she arrived, I just noticed I started to feel different. I wanted no interventions, nothing like that. But what she said that she was about to go home. She was about to leave us. And I'm in this experience of really building towards something. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously this experience is brand new. I don't know what's happening. I feel what's happening, but I don't know where we're going. And then she said she was going to leave the premises, even though, you know, clearly we're looking at this and it's all moving along quite well. And I just wasn't sure how I felt about that. And my doula picked up on the fact that I was a bit, what? Like, just, it brought me into the front of my brain. And she was asking me, like, so she kept asking me to make decisions. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? Because I just wasn't there. I wasn't in that part of my brain. I really just wanted to hang back here and ride the waves. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, my doula said to me, I know that you didn't want any examinations, but she's about to leave. And I feel that you don't want her to. Do you want her to take a look? And I actually said, yes, let's just take a look. And she, oh my God, you're 9 centimeters dilated. I'm not going anywhere. So there was just that, like, it was interesting. interesting.
Yeah.
So what we have now is, and you know what this is like, darling, it's all a blur, but we have these surges that were just building to now everything starts to peel away and a surge will come and maybe it lasts 5 or 10 seconds and I can't get inside the contraction is how I would say it. I couldn't sort of get inside it to bring him down. And then very, very quickly, the word hospital and ambulance starts to be spoken about and thrown into the fray. And I just could not understand this. I mean, I had read enough books to know that sometimes things slow down and then pick up and sometimes the head comes back up and comes back down and that was okay and that was all perfectly normal. And to have ambulance, hospital be thrown in, I felt incredibly discombobulated. No. And then at one point it was announced that the ambulance was actually here and then that they were within the house and I couldn't see them or hear them, but it was a bit tragic actually how that affected me. Mm-hmm. Now, T is in my birth canal. I could feel him second knuckle. He was there for 8 hours. And then with that, with this intense feeling of, you know, and you hear this all the time in the Reddit, my baby's stuck. Mm-hmm. My baby's stuck. And this, we got to go to the hospital soon. We got to make a call. And I'm thinking to myself, I paid you to work for me. Like, you know, surely let's just, I didn't know the answer. I'm not in the field. All I knew was my energy is being encroached upon here, mm-hmm. by powers outside of me that have an agenda. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what language to put to it, but thankfully my doula Jem was fabulous. She knew me. She knows my strength and resolve, and she kept trying to create a buffer there. Mm. Even though I think there was some pretty interesting dynamics going on within the birth team, thankfully not in my realm that I could sense or see. Now, my second midwife, who I'd only met that day, she had mentioned a few times, look, we're just going to walk away and we'll leave you two. You know, she was more with the strategy, coming in towards us with the strategies. Okay, darling, just go have a walk outside, or just spend some time together. We'll be out here. So she was really, you know, I could see it in her eyes. She was like, it's happening here. It's happening here. It's happening at home. Mm-hmm. And then the next midwife will come in. Look, we got to go to the hospital soon. And by this time, like I had, after I was examined, I hopped straight in the water for an hour, just sitting there going, what's going on? You know, because it had all just completely fizzled. So off with the water, bugger that, you know, just what else is it going to take? And, you know, for a while there, I was on my back, pressing against my knees, like coached, pushing, all of it. And in the end, oh, just this dread, you know, just this dread, like, no, I've come this far to know that I cannot for another moment believe the thought that my body can't do this. I've thought this so many times in my life, that my body can't be pregnant, that my, you know, and so these words, hospital and ambulance, they just started kind of, I would look at my midwife, and in my eyes would look at her, but there was just nothing. It's like the words were just filtering through my body. I just could not accept it as the truth, mm. right? So the second midwife comes in at some point. I keep rushing back to the toilet because obviously it's my safe space. Mm-hmm. It's where I release. It's where my water's exploded. And every time I went back there, there would be, you know, these contractions started to pick up a little bit. Now, it got to the point where, you know, where it really bulges, mm-hmm. and you could feel their little, like the little hair. Mm-hmm. Got to the point where he was there and my midwife was still saying, we'll have to get in the hospital, in the ambulance soon. And I remember, because this is quite an intense part of the process, mm-hmm. when everything's stretching and the bulging and the real, like feeling him in my pelvis like that, the thought of getting into an ambulance was so unfathomable to me. Mm-hmm. I cannot even tell you. And again, my second midwife, it's, you're having the baby here tonight. So finally she says, anything you can do, clitoral stimulation. And by then I even had like Rob and my doula, like nipple stimulation. She was so beautiful. She was doing whatever she could to support mm-hmm. my body. But finally, the second midwife said, okay, it's time for clitoral stimulation. Anything. We need these hormones. Like we need to bring him here now. And away they went. And it was just Rob and I sitting on the toilet, terrified, having our like come to Jesus moment with our baby. So Rob starts touching me. I'm touching myself. He's kissing me. And like there's pleasure sounds coming from me and I'm crying. And it's one thing to read in the books about these pleasure hormones activating the birth process more. It's one thing to read about that. And it's another thing to feel that pleasure and then to have that lightning bolt strike throughout your body and to feel that baby descending. Wow. To feel that regulation. and then when the birth takes over, and then when it becomes spontaneous, and when there's no more trying, and there's no more even getting out of the way because you don't even have control over that, it's just so primal, and all the ancestors are there and all the custodians of the land are there, and Rob's just holding me up, like, just because it's just force of nature ripping through. And I remember and we had a few rounds of that, and still ambulance, hospital. And now my man is just starting to waver ever so slightly. He promised he wouldn't, but I was too. And he said, I love you both so much, I'm worried. And he said, Tara, let's try this one more time, two more times, and then we might have to go to the hospital. Are you ready? And I said, yes. And we just let go, and we just met each other in that space. And I just remember screaming out, get in here now, like, help us, he's coming. And they ran back in, and I kind of wish I didn't. I kind of wish it was just Rob and I there. But standing up, he's coming out. I felt the head, and once his head was out, I knew that it was just another few deep breaths until I would feel that little jellyfish sensation. Mm-hmm. And then there he was. And then there he was, beautiful being. And oh my God, it was just magnificent. It was just magnificent. Those moments of feeling that raw, spontaneous power, I will never forget. And I am not afraid of that anymore. And so what's really interesting about my story is I can just so champion that moment that is potential for women. And yet still, I ended up in the hospital. I ended up transferring for a placenta, which didn't come out on their watch, which was only an hour and 15 minutes. I was jabbed with the hormone. I don't remember it because I got my baby here. Yeah. And you start to see, and I'm sorry to go there, but you start to see these prime moments of vulnerability when that love hormone is so immense. You start to see when these things can happen.
Yeah.
And I was on the cart going down into the ambulance. Oh my God. Like, he rode on my chest, thankfully, just skin to skin the whole way. When I was on the table in the hospital, he was on Rob. But it wasn't and I was fully bonded to that experience for a few weeks. Yep, so lucky my placenta wasn't coming out, you know, did the right thing. And then it started to dawn on me, hang on a second, aren't they the same hormones? Isn't it the same hormones that release? Shouldn't they have just left the room and asked Rob and I to bond and kiss each other more? Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't, and can't they just be patient? Like, I know it's 10 o'clock at night and you want to get home for Christmas. I get it. And so still, even in that beautiful moment of power and perseverance and hanging in there and trusting, still I ended up in an ambulance. Still at 3 o'clock in the morning, I ended up walking around the bright lights of a hospital. We're trying to figure out where Rob parked. I've got bloodstains all down my legs. I'm holding this precious little baby. I'm off my head on hormones and just the peakest experience of my life, buckling my newborn. Like, I didn't want to do this. I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I only share that because I understand that transfers are totally necessary sometimes. Mm-hmm. But these 9 months for me, I trust the timing of this conversation because I've had to process that, hey, I'm one of the lucky ones, sure. I got the birth that I wanted, but I was still drawn into a system that it just wasn't necessary. I know in my heart it wasn't. It's interesting.
And this is where I think it's so important to talk about stories like this because home birth is kind of the gold standard, and yet home birth midwives, privately practicing midwives, are inevitably still part of the system.
That's right.
They are. And so it's so hard when there's so few. And as you said, free birth is a choice that is absolutely not for everyone. And so home birth is kind of the best option that we have. And yet so much of that, because this is such a finely tuned that hormonal orchestration is so easily disrupted by the energies of the people around us and the things that they say to us. And so it's so vulnerable to disruption.
Amen. Yeah, and that's exactly right. In moments I felt really angry, but I do understand that the system from which she was enmeshed in.
Mm.
But I didn't understand at the time, like leading up to my birth, what that would mean.
Mm.
I didn't understand just how on the clock I would still be.
Yeah.
And yeah, but truly, and I do mean this, and I'm not trying to bypass anything, but what an incredible lesson for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a physical memory of that emotion, that hormonal cascade, and what birthing requires. There's such a trust there, and one of my friends actually had a very similar birth in that her boy was sort of in her birth canal there for 6-7 hours, gave birth at home. Her midwives waited 3 hours for the placenta to come out.
Yeah,
you know, no manipulation. And of course, you know, every case is different, but I enjoyed hearing that from her because again, we all need these little stories of proof.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I got into the hospital bed and I'm being prodded and this placenta is being pulled out. Oh, actually, let me share this with you. This is what was so confounding about the whole thing was during my birth, they had given me a catheter and I had it on for about 15 minutes before saying, get this fucking thing off me. This is just horrible. Mm. Like just out with this. And they said, oh, we can't put another catheter in you because obviously they wanted to try and empty my bladder in case that was impeding on the on the placenta. I only bought one. I didn't bring two. So we're going to have to go to the hospital. So we get to the hospital and the nurse or the midwife there says, so before we put a catheter in, we'll just see if you can, my partner's making a smoothie. We'll just see if you can empty your bladder. And I got on the toilet, emptied my bladder, and then boop, placenta comes straight out. So I'm like, well, you could have just left me to kiss my amazing partner, kiss my baby, and try and wee. Hindsight, right? So hindsight, but what an incredible knowledge for me to have about this now.
Yeah, exactly. Because it just sounds like, and the connection that you and Rob had, like you were doing everything was going so right. And you had such trust and he had such trust and you two had this beautiful connection and your little man was coming and these people around you were just, and thank goodness that you did have two people who were able to hold that space.
Yeah.
But of course you're in the front of your head, like right at the start of that story, you started saying, you know, things were going beautifully. And then she made this comment about leaving. And what that does is exactly like you're heading towards a destination and she then brings in time.
Yeah.
Because that for you is, well, if she's leaving, she obviously expects this to take a long time. It takes you out of the present. And then like, that's how subtle it can be. Just that comment.
That's right. Yeah, I remember her saying to Jem, to my doula, because Jem said to her, look, maybe we should consider checking her just, you know, in case leaving is the wrong decision to make. And then she came back and said, yeah, well, what if I check her and she's only 2 centimeters? And so Gemma came back and asked me that. I'm like, well, then I'm only 2 centimeters, but you've already bought in this conversation of time.
Exactly.
And leaving. Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had a friend who had a beautiful home birth, VBAC, and just recently, and yeah, I shared that story with her about really just energy dynamics.
Mm.
And I think it served her beautifully. So,
Oh,
ladies.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That space is so sacred. And
yes.
The potential of power just isn't, it's just worth protecting.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's funny because I think my own perception of home birth is colored by my experience, because I had an absolutely beautiful home birth midwife who I had a fantastic relationship, and she was completely respectful of my space. And now as I open towards the possibility of another pregnancy, and I've learned so much about birth and just the like sensitivity of physiologic birth, I can see even how having literally anybody in my space affected everything. Like, it affected so much. And that's why, you know, like Dr. Sarah Buckley talks about undisturbed birth. And I think it's almost impossible, even though like I had completely physiological birth, I actually in hindsight wouldn't call it an undisturbed birth now after two years of reflection.
Same. I'm like, is mine even physiologic? I was poked and prodded and I had the catheter, and maybe not. Like, there was incredible amount of interventions, although, you know, subtle in comparison to others. But I know what you mean. It's like even the most supportive environment, and I had some incredible people there. But even so, like when it's completely just us, I've got some roping. I've got a rope rob into this, but I have a vision in my heart that's very alive.
Yeah.
And that I trust so deeply and completely.
Mm-hmm. Because you did experience that. You felt it, like the way you described it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think this is such an important conversation to have, because it's like, you know, to get us to a point where we can even have a conversation about home birth and the safety of home birth, that is a massive enough shift. And I don't believe that free birth is a good option for everybody, because it takes such radical self-responsibility and ownership. And yet this is the danger of home birth as well, that it is actually still part of the system.
Right. The tendrils.
Yeah.
The tendrils of this system. You don't realize how far reaching they are.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we start to, it's the same thing with, like, I just want a free range life. Just get your hands off, get your mitts off my life.
Yes.
Basically, you know, I want a free range kids. And yeah, it's the 2.0 of that conversation is, it's the same as freedom 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, and yet I probably definitely still needed that stepping stone. Mm.
Yes, exactly. And I was very much the same. And I think it has to happen in layers, right? Yeah. Like, because we are so conditioned by everything around us. That, and you were talking way back at the start of the conversation about envisaging a life and a way of mothering that you've never actually experienced before. And it's the same with birth.
It's the same.
Yeah. We have to get to that. And this is what, you know, Jane Hardwick Collings talks about, that we get the birth that we need to take us to where we're going to go. And that is the gift of it, that it gave you kind of both, right? Like, it gave you the experience of that wild, out of control physiologic birth, and it also gave you the experience of how easily that's disrupted.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, 100%. So well said. And I'm just so grateful at the timing of this, because it's really taken until this moment for me to, it's that feeling as though something's been taken from you that just needs to be reconciled, and that's not, doesn't serve me to hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there's a great deal of medicine there.
Yeah, and it's so courageous to, and it truly has me reflecting on my birth as well, because I've kind of been quietly reflecting on this for a little while now, as I said, and I had the most beautiful experience, completely physiological birth.
Mm.
And yet I think about just the tiniest, subtlest little things that, and I think, what would have happened if that hadn't happened, if that person hadn't said that, or, you know, just the most subtle things. And none of it was bad, but it was just external to me and this experience between me and my baby in my body.
Yeah. Yeah, we can sort of gaslight ourselves around that a bit, I think.
Yeah.
You know, how dare I? Like I'm lucky.
Mm.
But that's just something to witness and observe and to love that, you know, mm-hmm. with tenderness, love those parts of us that, yeah, like an element of the innocence was stripped. And that's the thing, it doesn't happen wittingly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on purpose. No one's out there to make anyone's birth difficult, horrendous, mm. traumatic at all.
No.
But it's all just there for a deeper understanding almost. And oh, it just brings you again, like into that deep trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Wow. What a story. And like, what an opportunity now. Like I just look at this and I just think, fuck, what's she going to do now? Like now that you've actually been given this, fuck, what's she going to do with this now? That's kind of exciting, actually.
Thank you. That's a really beautiful question to have reflected. I know, I wonder. It does something to you, though. Like, yeah. I think this is birthing like that. All the bullshit, so much of it anyway, just falls away. So many of the ideologies. And
yes.
Yeah. There's a womb of creation. We belong to it. We are it. We try and label each other and ourselves as isms and ists, and birth just fucks all that right off. It has for me.
Yeah.
You know, like we are life. We are living. We are co-creating life together here on this planet at this time. We can either tear each other to shreds or try and remind each other of our true nature or simply just let it be, like just let each other be.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much where I'm at with that.
Tara, just thank you for just sharing your incredible story. It's brought so much medicine to me, and I know it will to everybody listening. Is there anything else that you feel called to say before we end the conversation?
I just think I want to drive home the message of pleasure.
Mm.
I really want women to know that, and their partners.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that just brings up, you know, your program is called Rebels of Light, and you talk about us returning to our true nature, and our true nature and nature itself, the kind of blueprint is light and beauty and pleasure. And that's so, we are so conditioned to think of everything, life and birth, as like dangerous and hard and right. And if we come back to that, it's so hard because there's so much conditioning, and yet it's also so easy because it is truth.
Yes.
To just come back into that. And actually, I think what your story is really so beautifully illustrated for me is that.
Mm. Thank you.
It's just been absolutely, it's just been medicine.
Yeah. And I think I just, you know, he may not listen to this, but just in honouring Rob, like to come back to the start of that story, I doubted whether I'm like, what's he going to do with all this wildness? Like if it gets really wild, what's he going to do? And wow, to be in the absolute chaos of wild feminine energy. And I always like to make that distinction. I'm not talking about femininity, like to be in that and to have my mountain there meeting me over and over again. Over and over again, and to have us both surrender into presence and vulnerability. And I won't even say pleasure because it goes so much deeper than that. Hey, it's like it's just the deepest connection and essence of lovemaking to bring him here.
Mm.
Oh, please remember that, women and men. Don't ignore that part of the equation.
Yeah.
You know, when they say what gets the baby in is what gets it out, they actually mean it.
Yeah. It's so really true. Is true. Yeah.
Just go there. Just go there. Know that that's there for you. And it's all innate.
Mm.
Yeah. Thank you so much for so beautifully curating this conversation. It's been such a joy. And I feel lighter having shared it.
Oh, I'm so glad. It's been my absolute pleasure. And I've just listened in awe to every word out of your mouth. Honestly, it's just been an honor.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jessica. Thanks for listening to the Wild Mother Podcast. I'm living and mothering on the unceded country of Dharawal people, and I gratefully acknowledge their ongoing work and the work of Indigenous people everywhere in the service of thriving life on Earth. Stay wild, mamas.